And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. Argue with me. I dare you, Alabama. I'm talking about way down south of Birmingham to up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back on over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right. We finished at number one of the Triple Dipper, Home Fries, jumping into number two, China Rising. And I'm not going to, you know what, I'm not going to pull punches on this. I'm going to tell you that I think one of the most dynamic, fluid environments we have right now is in U.S. foreign policy as it relates to China and China as it relates to U.S. And I'm talking about this is what many experts believe is the next potential for great war. They call it great war in terms of its size. It's the buzzwords, great war, you know, near peer. That's what they are. They're a near peer adversary. And all this to say, China's not playing, all right? And I look at it, and you know, part of me thinks, we're rocking along. You know, what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, we're just rocking along. It's more than that now. It's more than just more of the same. We are seeing an increased level of rhetoric. Yeah, but Phil, nobody died from rhetoric. Well, they do when they have guns attached to it. So the increased level of rhetoric, and then, by the way, an increased level of what I would call forward-leaning posture, a forward-leaning posture in a dynamic sort of military exercise going on that's just got everybody on edge. So I'm not going to try and be a doomsayer and tell you we're going to war with China, but what I'm saying is do not underestimate anything in the situation right now, especially given the fact that Biden's in the White House. Lindsey Graham, who I sometimes agree with, sometimes don't, Lindsey Graham came out the other day and said that Afghanistan has emboldened China. China believes that, you know, after that debacle, that the store is open and they can come in and take whatever they want. Well, that's exactly right. And I think China also recognizes that on the horizon, we don't know whether Biden will survive a re-election campaign or, for that matter, who would come in after him. I think they're looking right now at a strategically kind of, I don't want to say disenfranchised, what's the word I'm looking for? A strategically, you know, broken, if you will, leadership in the U.S. We have a level of incompetence as opposed to competence when it comes to applying the full dynamics of foreign policy, all of which, and I said it before on the show, use the acronym DIME, D-I-M-E. It stands for Diplomatic, Information or Intelligence, Military, and Economic. All four of those things concerted together, done in equal and unmitigated shares, are what you use to project your foreign policy. And right now, we're failing in it. I'm not sure, what does Antony Blinken do for a job? I'm sure there's stuff that he's done that we can't see, and I have no idea the number of meetings he's in every day and whatever. I am not inspired by our current Secretary of State. I am certainly not inspired by our current leadership in the Pentagon, and I am certainly not inspired by the White House. Well, there's the majority of your dime right there. So all that to say, with China and Taiwan, and if you're looking at the map, there's about a 100-mile wide, it's called the Taiwan Strait, that runs of water that runs between China and Taiwan. The island nation of Taiwan has about 24 million people. It is a strategic ally in many ways. It is an economic ally. It is a democracy where they freely elect their leadership. It's like Ukraine. People are like, well, Ukraine's got corruption problems. Well, do you like Russia? How much better is Russia's problems when it comes to corruption and political influence? Well, the same is true here. Well, I don't know about Taiwan. They may have some problems. Do you like China? Is China preferable? The Communist Party, the CCP? So anyway, the bottom line is this. We have to begin thinking about the way forward. Well, for years, the policy has been what we call a one-China policy. We do not contest China openly as a matter of policy, that they believe that Taiwan is really theirs. See, years and years ago, when the communists took over, the non-communists basically defected to the island of Taiwan, and they established their own democracy and said they were separate. China has refused to accept that. Meanwhile, China struggles under communism. Taiwan flourishes under a capitalist democracy. So the United States has had this kind of sly, wink, wink, nod, nod, one China policy. How? We're not going to say that. We're not going to say you're separate. We're not going to say they're a nation. But we do like them better. And we will help them. And we'll sell them arms. And we'll set special trade agreements with them. And we'll come sail through the Taiwan Strait and stare evil daggers over there at China if you dare to bow up. Well, it's gotten worse. So within the forward-leaning posture that we have right now, the One China policy is enacted by what we call, here's another term for you, strategic ambiguity. What does that mean? Strategic ambiguity means we don't ever openly say, we will come to China's defense or to Taiwan's defense if China invades, that we will be there. We'll fight for you. We don't say that. We just leave it open that we're going to sell you arms and you're our ally. Although the crazy thing was, the position of the United States has always been, we don't openly contest the One China policy. We do not go past strategic ambiguity until President Biden, who can't remember what he had for breakfast, says, yeah, we will. What? And his administration has started walking it back. Oh, no, we have not revoked the One China policy. What time is they serving pudding? That's what they meant to say. So all that to say, we are now right this moment, today, in probably the highest level of tension and detente that we have seen when it comes to China and Taiwan. There are many who believe right now that China is sensing that they have a window of opportunity with the Biden administration, that they don't believe that Biden will follow through. They don't believe the Biden administration will be there for Taiwan. Meanwhile, China has to look at it and go, can we really take it? Because it's an island fortress. I mean, it's like trying to take England during World War II. It's an island fortress. It's the English Channel. I mean, you can swim across the English Channel. The Taiwan Strait's 100 miles wide. Can they take it? Probably. But it would not be a cakewalk. Do they want to risk that? Do they want to destroy the infrastructure that they really want because it would aid their economy? I don't know. Do they want to assert it as a matter of principle? Is Xi that crazy? Maybe. So here we are, strategic ambiguity, One China policy. Oh, Lord, Biden's president. Lloyd Austin is Secretary of Defense. Anthony Blinken is Secretary of State. And Xi is playing chess. And he's moving pieces right now. And I'm afraid that there are times when the Biden administration is playing checkers. Where are we as a nation with this? And while I don't believe that I'm ready to rush out and send troops and start, you know, beating the war drums and doing those kind of things, there has to be a measure of foreign policy posture that China respects, and right now it's not there. What is that? I think part of it has to be an official firm stance on what will happen if. Part of that also has to be finding a way to get the weapon systems to Taiwan that they've already paid for that have been slow rolled under the Biden administration. And then, you know, next you have to look at what is happening on the diplomatic side. What could we do to China? If China decides to blockade Taiwan, can we blockade Middle East oil getting to China? Can we do something that would then make China sit back and go, oh man, this ain't worth the price? All said and done, we're beginning to see more and more out of the U.S. military's emphasis towards the Pacific region than we've seen maybe since World War II. There's been a whole lot focused on Europe and the Cold War with the former Soviet Union and NATO. Now we have the war in Ukraine. We had things in our own hemisphere that were crises. You know, we had the invasion of Panama. We had the invasion of Grenada. We had the Cuban Missile Crisis. We had the wars in the Middle East. With the exception of Vietnam, we haven't seen this much level of activity, well, in Korea, this is different because it's on a scale that we haven't seen before. I will tell you this story out of Huntsville. You know, Material Command, Army Material Command, headquartered in Huntsville. Defense News has a piece right here. Came out 4 days, last Friday, actually. The U.S. Army is preparing to put its logistics tail to the test in the Indo-Pacific, considered the most challenging operational theater in the world. Why is that? Because of the amount of distance between our allies. You know, trying to get something to Australia, New Zealand, it's pretty significant. Having to stage on islands like in the Philippines, it's pretty significant. Says this summer, the service will hold a large-scale exercise in Australia dubbed Talisman Sabre. As part of the two-week training event that starts in late July, the Army will deliver massive amounts of equipment across challenging terrain and large... So basically what's happening is this. The 8th Theater Sustainment Command is going to basically put on a logistics mission that is bigger than any they've ever done, is what we're hearing, with the outside of war. Designed to plus up materiel and equipment and manpower to the Australia area, to regions in Australia. And then not only that, but get them to port, offload them, and get them 100 miles inland and try to do that in a controlled fashion on an epic scale. That's all starting up here pretty soon. But what that tells me, though, is we ain't playing. I've heard from somebody who knows, who's on the inside of this, that we're going to start seeing massive amounts of emphasis on force modernization coming up pretty soon. Why? Well, number one, we probably need it. Some of our platforms, like the Abrams tank, the Paladin is pretty new, the artillery pieces, some of our aircraft, they're getting kind of dusty. I mean, they're still highly effective, but they're older platforms. And so we're going to start seeing far more emphasis on force modernization and on things like logistics trains over long distances to include water. And then, so the 25th Infantry Division will be working with the Sustainment Command, and this is going to be a big deal. And so some of y'all are going, I don't get it. What's happening now? Well, you can't, if you can't get beans and bullets where the fighters are, the war comes to a grinding halt. So what they're doing right now is making sure they have the capabilities, the training, and the experience to move massive logistics through the Indo-Pacific region. And that's starting now. All right, we're going to take a break right now. I'm sticking with this for a bit. China rising. I just think it's so important we break this down and look at it and what China's saying, what we're saying. And there's been a lot of rhetoric on both sides that is stiffer, stronger than I've seen in maybe ever. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, got some text messages. I'll get them real quick. In fact, one of those, wow. Hey, Boomer, check the message from Mike from Muscle Shoals. Please, got a technical thing there about the show, if you would. Just check that out. John from Huntsville says, if China goes to war with Taiwan, I already know who's going to lose, the American taxpayers. I already know who's going to lose the war between Russia and Ukraine, the American taxpayers. I get it, but at the same time, you have to look at it and think, what do we lose if China's allowed just to invade? Because right now, the microchips that our society runs on, the vast majority of those come from, you guessed it, Taiwan. 15% of the GDP for Taiwan is based in the microchip industry. 60% of the world's microchips come from Taiwan. 90% of the most advanced microchips the world uses come from Taiwan. It's one of those things where, daggum, if you can't get microchips from Taiwan, you can't build new cars, you can't have medical equipment advances, you can't have cell phones. It's a mess. We've got way too much. And I look at it and go, why didn't somebody see that coming? But nonetheless, the curb on the market is Taiwan. China knows that. So we got sufficient interest to make this real dicey Samaa, the truck driver, I mentioned earlier about Xi playing chess, Biden playing checkers. He says, nah, Biden's playing 52-card pickup. Glenn from Bluntsville says, China is playing chess and Biden's playing tiddlywinks, which Brian from Huntsville said the same thing. Biden's playing tiddlywinks. Checkers is far too complex, he said. Wow. Anyway, all right, listen, there's more text on here that I didn't get to, but let me just jump back over to the topic. In fact, wait, one more real quick. Daryl from Tony. Oh, I can't, you know what, I can't, this is too long. I have to come back to you. Daryl, thanks for the text. I'll get on it. So Taiwan is warning this. Fox News story yesterday. Taiwan is warning a Chinese misstep, in their words, could lead to uncontrollable world war outbreak. That's high rhetoric, all right? And Taiwan has an interest in making sure that the world sees them as vital and needed. But Taiwan is sounding alarms over Chinese military drills that says they could mistakenly spark an uncontrollable war. You got to watch those incidents, those things that, you know, you get kind of gamey. You're you know, pointing loaded weapons at each other, and next thing you know, somebody sneezes and it goes off, and it's a whole new game at that point. Taiwan's foreign minister, Joseph Wu, said the Chinese military exercises this couple of days have been very serious. If you look at the sorties of Chinese Air Force, together with the ships, they're coming very close to Taiwan. Any accident could spark an uncontrollable war between Taiwan and China. And if other countries try to intervene, it might be the start of a war of great scale. So here's the deal. What has happened most recently that has provoked the Chinese, again, is we have a delegation of senior leaders, Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy and Representative McCall and several others who all made a congressional delegation trip to Taiwan and met with the president of Taiwan, and that just inflames the passions of China. You're like, you want to say, Xi, calm down. We've been meeting like this. All right, they don't want to hear it. They're beyond it, they say, China. They don't want us doing that because it makes it look like we're saying that the whole strategic ambiguity is not there anymore. And they refuse to believe that someone would go to China to meet with their president instead of coming to Beijing to meet with Xi because they believe Taiwan is part of them. So what's happened? Military exercises on a scale we have not seen before. Now, last August was bad when Pelosi went over. China did this then. They're doing it even more now. Story on Breitbart. And also the story on Fox News. I'll do them both kind of together. We're seeing massive amount of aircraft. So right now there's a dividing line. Picture that Taiwan Strait, 100 miles wide. 50 miles in is the dividing line. That's called the median, the Taiwan median. And you just don't go across it. It's like the, hey, don't cross this line. You stay on yours. There's no real fence, but everybody knows where it is. And China has been crossing it in a big way. China sent nearly a dozen warships and 70 fighter jets towards Taiwan on Monday. Many of those crossed over the median. 35 of the detected aircraft crossed the median of the Taiwan Strait, entered Taiwan's self-declared air defense identification zone. 11 warships belonging to China's Navy are also out there. So we've got that's the third day in a row. They're actually blockading. They're practicing what it would take to blockade China. They're surrounding it on four sides. Picture Taiwan roughly just in your mind as a big rectangle. They're blockading all four corners and what it would take to stop incoming and outgoing. Well, they're saying they're doing it as what they call a combat readiness patrol. So in other words, they're not saying, don't worry about us. We're just out here testing our mettle. We're not doing it. No, they're saying, yeah, we're doing this in terms of combat readiness in case we have to invade Taiwan. Well, it goes on from there. We'll come back. Wait till you hear what Senator Lindsey Graham said. Now, he's all hawkish. He's the first one to say, let's send troops. What he said on this one? Wow. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We're in number two, China Rising. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like that dude just said, solid conservative, just plain right, hour number three. And before I go any further, I got to tell you guys, the Elm Foundation, one of our sponsors. So the Elm Foundation does some pretty cool stuff, and I would encourage you to check it out. I mean, they've got a heart for people. And it comes through in what they do. ELM, E-L-M, stands for Expect Little Miracles. And this is not a program like the government where they just throw money at stuff and see if it sticks. No, this is a program with a 501c3, a nonprofit charitable organization that's out there really getting in the weeds, helping people get off the streets, find productivity and meaning in life again. And giving them not just the skills or the certification or the opportunities, but then walking through it with them and giving them accountability. Like, hey, you got to check in with us. We're gonna walk through this with you, but you got to hit these milestones. We got to work with you, and you got to work with us. That's an incredible program, almost like a mentoring situation, and I love that. So just check out their website, ELM, E-L-M-H-S-V, as in Elm Huntsville. That's where they are, E-L-M-H-S-V, elmhsv.org. It's a .org. Check them out, and if you wind up going to one of their meetings or helping out with something they do or making a donation or whatever else, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Oh, and by the way, very cool, donations. Any donation you give to them goes straight to programs that help people because all of their administrative costs are covered by a single benefactor who makes sure they don't have to raise money for their payroll. They're just working with your charitable dollars for the people they help. Anyway, there you go. Elm Foundation, elmhsv.org. Back to China Rising. This is no fooling. This is serious business. This is the kind, I look at this like Boomer and I were talking off the air, Boom, about that balloon that flew over, what?
Oh, yeah.
What was that, a month and a half ago?
Yeah, about.
We still, by the way, have not seen what it was toting when they shot it down.
Right.
Where is that?
They're keeping it under wraps.
Apparently so.
They don't want us to get too mad.
I just saw a novel the other day that I haven't read yet. It's like a Clancy spy thriller type novel.
Yeah.
And the main character dealt with the electrical grid being taken out. Can you imagine if one of those balloons, and I'm not trying to be like this conspiracy theory, you know, a big, I'm just saying, why was that balloon there? Gathering intelligence for what? How about just seeing, first of all, whether they can make it work? And if you fly one of those balloons quietly over at 60,000 feet and it carries an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse weapon, or a nuclear blast airburst that just takes down the power grid, we're in the Stone Age. All of a sudden, you can't get money out of the bank. You can't get medical help. You can't. Some cars won't work. You have the inability to use your computers. Cell phones go down. I mean, it's like The Walking Dead without the zombies.
Ooh.
I'm just saying.
Well, and the fact of it that we didn't even notice it till it hit Montana.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and who's to say they wouldn't send hundreds of balloons over?
Yeah.
Just to divert us or whatever.
Yeah, only one of them or two of them matters, but the rest of them are out there taking up space.
And using up our missiles that cost, $250,000?
Yeah, easily. Well, I mean, all this to say, China is serious business. They just floated a spy balloon over our nation. And by the way, it was navigable. They were flying that thing. It wasn't floating, gathering meteorological data. No. They were flying it over key infrastructure and then turning it back around, sometimes doing figure eights. I mean, they knew exactly what they were doing, and this was a quiet attempt to see how much they could gather up without anybody knowing. China is probing right now. More than we've ever seen in our lifetimes, China is literally probing right now. There's a thing we used to, in the infantry, we used to call recon by fire, and that's where fire a few shots, see if the enemy answers, and they'll tell you where they are by doing so. China is basically doing a recon by fire right now. Let's float a balloon over, see how they react. Let's blockade Taiwan for a few days, see how they react. Let's make statements. Let's line ourselves up with Brazil and Russia and try to downgrade the dollar and see how they react. Let's see what happens on and on. I could China's probing. Well, Senator Lindsey Graham, long known for being very hawkish, in his words, he would support sending American troops to Taiwan. I think that's extreme right now, but when I read what he's got to say, it is kind of interesting. So in his words, he says the U.S. should aggressively train Taiwanese forces so they can fight like Ukrainians. Send F-16 jets to the island, install nuclear-tipped missiles and submarines, dispatch American troops to defend the nation. Okay, take a breath, Senator Graham, take a breath. But I do believe we better have a forward-leaning posture on how to react should things go badly. Graham said Congress needs to ask itself, should we have a defense agreement with the island of Taiwan? Because we don't. He says, but yes, I'd be very much open to the U.S. forces defending Taiwan because it's in our national security interest to do so, says he. Graham said he believes the Chinese Communist Party in Beijing is setting the stage for the possible blockade of Taiwan. And I told you earlier, and the quotes are in here in this article, 60% of the world's semiconductors, 90% of the most advanced ones, all come through Taiwan. What you got?
I was going to say, remind people where to get their the articles. Because you said it's in this article.
Oh, that's a great point.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but
that's a great point. Perfect. I mean, you put them up there. We might have to tell people, right? Okay, so every morning when I'm resourcing the show, I'm finding all the articles that you hear me rattling paper for, right? I send an entire triple dipper with all the resource articles to Boomer. He then puts it together in a format that I can print out and highlight and do all the things I do for the show. But what we realized recently was more than once people would say, man, where was that article? What was the one you read out about so-and-so? How about that article, like the third or fourth one you did in the Triple Dipper? Anyway, if you go to our website, rightsideradio.org, if you go to our website, go to the live stream page, you can scroll down. There's the live stream of the show. There's the audio live stream of the show. And down at the bottom, it says resources. Click on that. It takes you to today's Triple Dipper. Every article that I refer to, and some I don't even get to, are all linked on there. You can go find any one of those articles. Thank you, Boomer. Good point. Senator Lindsey Graham, back to that again. He said, what would I do to deter a blockage of Taiwan? I'd let the Chinese know, first of all, if you blockade Taiwan, you're going to have a hard time getting oil from the Middle East. There's that. He said, I would move war forces to South Korea and Japan. I would put nuclear-tipped cruise missiles on our submarines all over the world like Russians did. He said, I would make sure they understand that Xi and Putin are the problem, not Taiwan. And he goes on to basically say strategic ambiguity is not working. China, after Afghanistan, believes the store is open. You can go in and take whatever you want on Biden's watch. All right, that's tough talk. That's puffy rhetoric. But I'm going to tell you right now, the rhetoric coming out of China has been equally as bad, talking about how they will go to war if necessary. And that's been the last 24 hours. Congressman or Michael McCaul from Texas says the island nation of Taiwan is not where it needs to be in terms of having the capabilities it needs to repel an invasion from the communist China. So McCaul was just there, and he believes that basically the weapons they've paid for, that we should be getting them to them. Kind of hard to argue. They paid for them. And he points out in this article, which is found on Daily Wire, that there's really not enough there for Taiwan to truly defend a major assault by one of the world's great superpowers. Well, superpowers, leave off the great. McCaul's remarks, it says, come as other top Republican lawmakers have also been warning on recent Sunday shows that the U.S. needs to increase its support of Taiwan to prevent war from breaking out. He says they're not where they need to be. If we're going to have deterrence for peace, we need to get these weapons to Taiwan. He says, I sign off on all foreign military weapon sales. 22 weapon systems over 3 years ago have yet to be given to Taiwan after they paid for them. Really? McCaul, echoing recent remarks made by Speaker Kevin McCarthy, added that it was in the best interest of the U.S. and the world that Russia loses in Ukraine because that alone would serve as a strong deterrent against China invading Taiwan. Well, this thing is going to keep unpacking, y'all. I'm just telling you, there's effort right now, and I'm going to come back from this break. And I'll wrap it up by telling you what Macron says. So French President Macron literally had some... aren't we allies? Last I checked, we were. Didn't we save their raggedy selves in World War II? I'm pretty sure. Well, yeah, we'll tell you what Macron had to say after meeting with China's President Xi as we close up on here on China Rising. Pay attention, y'all. It's getting dicey. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Going to wrap up this section on China Rising. And no fooling, I'm not trying to be an alarmist. This is a major, major, major international foreign policy, military policy story. This one bears watching. And the level of rhetoric and the level of activity backing up the rhetoric is at levels we haven't seen before. I got to tell you, too, I got a great, I got a bunch of texters going right now. Appreciate all of y'all that text into the show, give us your input. John from Brownsboro may win the text battle today. John from Brownsboro says, with Ukraine as a major supplier in the world of grain and Taiwan a leading supplier of the world's tech industry, the question is, are China and Russia operating independently toward their own ends, or are they working in conjunction to devalue the dollar and the world economy and gain control of these commodities? Dang. John from Brownsboro. If I could have a maple bacon donut to hand you, I would, man. That one wins. But he's right. There are things at stake. People say, it's not in our national interest. Well, by God, what? Why would you say that? Is it in our national interest to let China take over part of the world that controls a huge piece of our economy? Is it in our best interest to stand idly by while Ukraine gets run over right next to NATO nations by a nuclear-based Russia? Anyway, and now, is everything perfect in it? No. Do I feel good about the Biden administration being in charge of all this? No. But I will say that I do not disagree that we have to see Russia lose and we have to see China thwarted. We have to. To maintain our position on the world stage, we have to. To be the America that we've known ourselves to be, for generations, we have to. For our economy to survive, we have to not have a devaluing of the U.S. dollar on the world stage. We have to. All right. We got stuff here. I'll skip that one. I've kind of talked about it already. House Foreign Affairs Committee, according to townhall.com, just to put a little more emphasis on it, House Foreign Affairs Committee Chairman Representative Michael McCaul warns of the possibility of U.S. troops having to be sent to Taiwan if China invades the country. His words. So it's not just Lindsey Graham. His words. If communist China invaded Taiwan, it would certainly be on the table and something that will be discussed by Congress and the American people. Are they prepared to do this? Is Taiwan worth it? He said, I can argue for a lot of reasons why it is. The move would represent a much different situation from Russia's invasion of Ukraine, where the U.S. sent billions of dollars but refused to send U.S. troops. Yeah, that's true. And it's anyway, kind of wrapping this up. You know, there are some feckless world leaders. Yeah, I'd get concerned about us having one of those ourselves. By the way, Boomer just pointed out to me a minute ago. So here we are. China is practicing its actual assaults on Taiwan, and President Biden just took a 4-day trip to Ireland. Ireland.
Yep. I think he just landed, not too long ago.
I feel certain there's something important going on to cause that to happen, but I don't know what it is.
Right.
So, yeah, that's happening. And Boomer just points out, and Gavin Newsom is becoming the lead Democrat to talk about policy and try to thwart the Republican regime. But then we got leaders like, Justin Trudeau in Canada, whose parents were just great friends with Fidel Castro. And then we got Emmanuel Macron. So he just came out, basically said, you know, we shouldn't have to worry about what the U.S. wants to do. We shouldn't rely on the U.S., and we shouldn't be there. Here's what he said. I'll just read it to you. Amid reports that some countries are de-dollarizing, French President Emmanuel Macron suggested in a new interview that Europe should reduce its dependency on the United States. He said there's a great risk that Europe gets caught up in crises that are not ours, which prevents it from building its strategic autonomy. Well, good luck with that, NATO member. How are you going to feel about strategic autonomy if things go south for you? I got news. You be calling like you did last time. By the way, he's just finished. He's saying these comments as he's just leaving Beijing because he was there to meet with President Xi on a state visit. And Xi rolled out the red carpet, man. Xi made it a state visit with huge emphasis. And so Macron goes on to say in his interview with Politico, the paradox would be that overcome with panic, we believe we're just America's followers. The question Europeans need to answer is it in our best interest to accelerate a crisis on Taiwan? No. The worst thing would be to think that we Europeans must become followers on this topic and take our cue from the U.S. agenda and a Chinese overreaction. Wow. In other words, yeah, sorry, not sorry. We're for you, not for you. Okay, that is going on right now. But other European officials who were with Macron on the trip did not agree, just so you know. He's not speaking for Europe. So European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said, stability in the Taiwan Strait is of paramount importance and says she told Xi that during her meeting. The threat of the use of force to change the status quo, she said, is unacceptable. Well, goodness. Tell you what, I'll wrap this up on the call. I got about a minute and a half. Let me do that real quick. Line two, Mike from Harvest. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Senator Williams. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. What's on your mind?
Well, I just had a question. I realized that the Foreign Affairs Committee people want to get soldiers to Taiwan, and I think that's a good idea. My question is, how are they proposing to get them there once China's invaded?
Yeah, well, that's
the last set of war games the Navy did. They could stop the invasion, but it would cost us most of our fleet.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a good answer for you on how they would do it. I think right now they're talking about doing heavy prepositioning of forces, looking at getting them on the ground first as a deterrent, looking at beefing them up in South Korea and Japan, and beefing up our naval and air presence in the Philippines, which we just signed an agreement with the Philippines for new basing. So yeah. I think the forward posture is what they're talking about as much as anything, but you're right. Once China's on the ground in Taiwan, it's kind of hard to go in.
Well, the other issue, too, is last I saw, we're below 300 ships, possibly even 200 ships, active ships in the Navy. So,
yeah.
And, you know,
I think our readiness posture is not where it needs to be right now, man. But that's true. Hey, Mike, the music's playing, brother. I got to go to a break. Thanks for the call.
No problem, sir. Thank you, sir.
All right, Boomer, take us to the break. We will do that. We'll come right back, and we're going to switch to triple dipper number three. Am I doing all three? I am. Kakistocracy. That's next. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.